You and I are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. If you go to the grocery store, you're still an ambassador. When are you not an ambassador for Jesus Christ? When do you not represent the Lord? Biblically speaking, when does the Bible tell you, oh no, you're off? You know, we stopped to get a little break, you know, on our way back in Honolulu, you know, dump some jet lag there. Good place to do that. And we're on the North Shore. We stopped to get a Coke at McDonald's and use the bathroom. And so I noticed this guy, that he's a little bit loud and stuff, but, you know, no big deal. Normal stuff that goes on sometimes. And then all of a sudden, I go use the restroom. Then he engages in a conversation with Lo. And then I come out, and then the three of us are talking. And he's been partying a good part of the day. He's our age. And he's already been, this is, you know, late afternoon, evening. And he starts talking about stuff, and he started asking, well, what are you doing here? So, well, we're on our way back from Japan, blah, blah. You know, we started talking about different things. And he said, well, what were you doing there? And I explained to him that, you know, I'm a Christian, and I was going to do this and that. And, oh, yeah, well, you know, I'd given my life to the Lord once. Really? That's so. It led to quite a conversation. You know, he's one of those guys you want to shag. You want to get rid of him, you know? Really, you want to kind of get out the door and just, hey, see you later. You know, that in my mind, I'm sorry. I'm being true confession. I know we're all people. Just, you know, we think we're going, oh, yeah, we're just going to hang with him and just really, you know, minister to him. You know, you really want to just leave. I wanted to leave. But in my heart, I didn't. But I'm going through this to explain something to you, that you don't ever take a break from being an ambassador for Jesus Christ. It never stops. We were standing there, we're talking to the guy. He goes, man, you know what? I know I'm going to burn in hell. He goes, I know I'm going to burn in hell. I know I'm destined for hell. I said, you want to go to hell? I was just like him, so I understand. I go, you want to go to hell? Is that what you want to do? Well, no, I don't want to go to hell. But look it, man, it's your choice. Is you want to go to hell or not? Well, no, I don't want to go to hell, but I know that's where I'm going, and I'm not scared. I'm not scared. I said, I didn't ask if you're scared. I said, is that where you want to go? We have this round discussion for a little bit. Finally, I told him, he goes, well, give me something. Tell me what. I said, look, it's not about what you can do. It's about who you know. I go back to that first thing that happened to you years and years ago before you ruined your life. Go back to that and start rebuilding from there. Well, what do you mean? I said, when you wake up tomorrow morning, open your Bible. So we got to pray for his name's Dominic. Dominic needs our prayers. He's just an old guy just running around partying, can't shake his lifestyle. For the grace of God, I understand. And so I go, hey, man, look, it really, we got to go. So he follows us outside. He still wants to talk about this stuff. Okay, man. So we talk a few more minutes. I go, look it, man. The deal is the same as I've been telling you. If you don't want to go to hell, this is where it starts. I share with him. And so I go, look it. Let's pray. Let's get this in the hands of God and let God work through this in your life. So it's not enough that we stand out in front of the McDonald's on the North Shore in Hawaii. But no, we've got this guy. No, we're going to have to hold hands. So now all three of us are standing out in front of McDonald's. When do you take a break from God? When do you take a break from being an ambassador? When do you take a break from having compassion on someone, a lost soul that's being tormented and that will go into eternal torments without Jesus Christ? When do you take a break from that? When you're playing with your kids at the park, is that when you take a break from that? When you want to sit and drink and just relax and have your hot toddy or whatever? Is that break time from God? When do you take a break from God? I don't understand any of this because I don't read it anywhere in my Bible. I don't see God, Jesus, representing himself to us and how we're to live. I don't see the Apostle Paul, hey, look it, man, this has gotten pretty inconvenient. I've been thrown in jail just way too many times for this. I'm getting tired of it. When are you too old? When are you done? When are you going to retire from being a Christian? Is there a time when you retire from being a Christian? See, I just look at these situations that happen. Being an ambassador, representing the Lord. What about school? What about being at school, high school, junior high, college, grade school? Is there a time when you shouldn't represent? If you profess to be a Christian, is there a time when you should just not be a Christian? It's an interesting thing. And parents, I caution you, live it out. Represent, because they're watching you. Every opportunity you get is an opportunity that you might not get again to speak something good into somebody's life. I just share this with you. I encourage you with this. Man, wherever we go, whatever we do, we are ambassadors for the Lord. We have an opportunity. You have an opportunity. I have an opportunity to represent the Lord, to share Jesus Christ. Everywhere we go, that's what we want to do. Why? Because we love the Lord, because he's made himself real to us, absolutely. Because he's delivered us, because he's given us everlasting life, and because we care about the people around us. Wherever we go, whatever we do, it's humanity. This morning, before we get, I thought that was enough right there. It is. It's plenty to think on. A few weeks ago when we got started in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we covered the first 6 verses. And I want to just do a quick kind of overview of a couple of thoughts before we get into, because we're in a spot in 1 Corinthians where we're going to start getting into the specifics, or at least kind of getting an understanding of more of the specifics of the gifts of the Spirit, the manifestation of the Spirit's work in the believer's life. And I want to get into that, but I want to make sure we've got the right foundation. So we talked about the reality of, is it something that's for today? Is this something that we believe is for today? I fully believe that. I believe the Bible teaches that. And in our part one of our intro to this, we covered that. I believe it is not a matter of everlasting life, okay? But I do believe that not giving opportunity to the Spirit's work, not allowing the Spirit to move in your life, you are selling yourself short, or you're missing a grand opportunity to experience more of what God has for your life. And we went through and kind of talked about that. And I want to talk a little bit further about not only our understanding the dependency and our need for the work of the Spirit in our lives, but also talk about, it's not about just you and God moving in and through you, though that's largely what it has to do with, but it's not just about that. It's not just about how God's going to use you or what God's going to do with you. It's about really what we represent as the church, the body of Christ here on this earth. What is that all about, and how does that fit together? Because this is where the abuses come in, because people take this into themselves and they want to be perceived as spiritual, and so they do certain things that represent certain things that look very spiritual, but that doesn't make it spiritual. So we want to talk about, before we get into this, we want to talk about the fact that what is one of the main purposes for the Spirit being given to the church, to the body of Christ, several things that we are going to talk about this morning. But in 1 Corinthians 6:20, I just want to recite a couple of scriptures for you that we've already read through. But in verse 20 of chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians says, "For you were bought at a price, therefore, because you and I have been bought at a price, therefore, because of that, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Glorify God. This is so important in our understanding of the work and the person of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not an it. It's not just an entity. The Holy Spirit is a person. You can't grieve an it. And yet the Bible says, don't grieve the Spirit of God. You can grieve a person, but you can't grieve an it or an entity. But you can grieve a person. It is obviously the third person in the triune Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians also, verse 31, these are all things that we've already read. "Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." Again, this idea of the church, you read John chapter 17, When you read John chapter 17 and you go through the prayer that Jesus prayed, when you read through that, and you find out that over and over again he uses the term glorify or glory to God the Father. This is our place. This is what we're here to do. The church doesn't exist to make you feel good about you, because we are the church. But the church isn't here for just itself in that sense, to make us feel good about us. The church is here to glorify God. And we're going to talk about a definition on that, just a brief idea of a definition of that, because it's got two compartments or two components to it. But before we do, as we go through this, I want us to understand that as the Holy Spirit was going to be being poured out, there would be this premise or this basis of understanding that it is to be used for the glory of God, not for your glory, you see? Now, Peter went out, and we saw Peter do some awesome healings. Remember seeing Jesus or Peter doing radical ministry as he, hey, silver and gold have we none, but such as we have, we give to you, rise up and walk, you know. Peter did some pretty radical stuff. We watched it all happen. Peter doing that, as Peter does these things, do you ever see Peter gets, he says, oh gosh, this is crazy, man. So he sees these miracles happening through his life, the Spirit's moving through him, and does he get an ox cart and all of a sudden get somebody to paint a sign and put it on the side of an ox cart? Peter's traveling healing ministries. I'm just asking the question, do you see Peter doing that? Peter had an understanding that this is from God, it flowed through him, and it is for God's glory, period. It exists to serve the purpose of glorifying God. You and I are brought together in the Lord for that same purpose, just to glorify the Lord. That's part of the reasoning for the Spirit coming upon us, that we might draw attention. Your testimony and my testimony, the story that we have to tell about who Jesus is in our life, isn't to glorify our flesh or our past, is it? It's to glorify the transformation that we've experienced in the person of Jesus Christ. Are you traveling with me? Are you tracking on what I'm driving at here? The significance and the importance of that. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about him. It's about God. It's about Jesus. That's so important. It's to give him glory and honor. Two components in this. Glory describes the visible expression of God. Glory describes the visible expression of God. Show us your glory. Reveal your glory to us. It's that, oh my, you know, it's the overwhelming sense of his presence. Some of you have just seen enough of some majestic mountains maybe, or seen some just wonderful natural beauty, and you say, wow, what an expression of God's glory. You know, no doubt that's true, but it's way past all that. Way past and way past and way past that. It's that expression of the presence of God, pretty much inexpressible. It's that concept. You remember Isaiah, as the presence of the Lord was there, and Isaiah described that, and the train of his robe, and the presence just earth shook, the doorpost shook. I mean, just the presence of God, just the awesomeness of who God is. The second aspect, so not only does it describe that visible expression of God, you know, it's kind of like the wow factor, basically. It's just the wow, my gosh, you know, just the overwhelming sense of God. The second aspect of the glory describes valued attention toward God. So this is, you remember we read in 1 John, we read about one of the guys that we don't want to be like on our Easter service. We read about one of the guys we don't want to be like. And one of the things that he did was he wanted to take the preeminence. He wanted to be seen as preeminent. It was all about him. Is it all about you, really? Everything around us is telling you it's all about you. It's all about your house. It's all about your car. It's all about your clothes. It's all about your looks. And it's all about what you have or what you don't have. It's all about you. You. Do you ever just look in the mirror and just get sick of you? Do you ever just feel like, oh my gosh, I'm just tired of looking at me. I'm tired of thinking about me. I'm tired of me. Because we live in this meanness all the time. giving him our focus and undivided attention. That is the one of the ways we get to glorify God, giving him our focus and undivided attention. And the things that we talk about then, are we bringing it around, are we bringing that conversation around back to the person of God, who Jesus is in our life? So the situation, if we're talking about this, and this is what's going on, are we bringing it back around? Hey, Dominic, sorry you got a drinking problem. See you later, man. Yep, probably going to burn in hell. See you later. You know, are we going to take time? Are we going to bring it back around? Hey, you can get right with God. God still loves you. God will forgive you. Do you know what one of the things he stopped us? He said, there's something. I know this is crazy, but this is my crazy life, our crazy life. We're walking. He wants to talk to us because he's looking. He says, there's something different about you guys. He takes off his sunglasses. He's like, there's something different about you guys. There's something about you guys. Tell me what, there's something about you guys. That's how it all started. Well, we've been enjoying some sun and, you know, things are going pretty good. I've been near a nuclear reactor that's on a meltdown. Maybe we got a little afterglow going here. I don't know. You know, there's something about you guys. No, you know what? We went right back to, yeah, you know what? We know Jesus. Oh. I can see that. He looks at both of us intently in the eye, and he goes, I can see it in your eyes. You've got peace. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, that's what you've got that the world wants. We don't need to try to be like the world. We've been taken out of the world. Though we're here, we're not here as far as the world's system goes. Lightly. Keep your contact with the world. Keep it light. Giving him our focus and undivided attention, pulling it back around, not taking preeminence, but giving it the right place. Turn with me to John's gospel just for a few moments. In chapter 14 of John's gospel, again, we talked about the dependency and the importance and our need that we have, the importance of that, being dependent on the Holy Spirit. We talked about it in our first time. Now we're talking about this idea of allowing the Spirit, before we get into how the Spirit wants to work through us and all that, before we get into all that and what gifts we might have or might not have or how God wants to move in and through our lives, before we do that, we want to know that the importance of pointing people to Jesus, the importance of keeping it all about Jesus. In John chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. And you remember, this has been the plan from the beginning. Verse 16, Jesus speaking to his followers, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, speaking of the Holy Spirit, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Dominic saw that. Doesn't have it right now in his life because he's not walking with God. Sees that, recognizes it, and wants that back. They neither see him nor know him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. And we talked about those two Greek prepositions that describe that. I will not leave you orphans or comfortless, but I will come to you in the form of the Spirit. Now, Jesus is saying this prior to the crucifixion. Just track with me for a minute on this. He's saying this prior to the crucifixion. We've talked about the need. We've talked about the importance. We've talked about the dependency on the Spirit and how desperately we need God to move in and through us. One of the things I spent a lot of time on in Japan this time was trying to encourage the people there, the Christians there, to, man, this is such a big picture. Fraction of a percent of true believers of 127 million people. That's under 100,000 people, or right about 100,000 people, that actually really know Jesus. Man, it's a small group in that sense. It's a massive situation. So what do we need? We need supernatural power. 12 guys go to the known world. You know, it's that concept. But I'm not going to leave you orphaned. From the very beginning, the whole idea is that there's a plan. I'm not going to leave you orphaned. John 20, verse 17. Because I'm slightly dyslexic, we're going to start it back and move our way back toward the front again. So, John 20, verse 17. You'll see what I mean. Jesus speaking to Mary, as Mary had come to want to put some anointing things on Jesus. She realizes he's resurrected. She realizes it's not the gardener that she's talking to in John 20, verse 17. And Jesus says to her, "Do not cling to me." Okay, she goes into death grip. "I've lost you for a few days. My connection to eternity is with you." And she goes into a death grip around him, just hanging on to Jesus. I think I'd do the same thing. I'd go into that mode. I'd just hang on him. "Do not cling to me," Jesus says to her. Now, he loves her. Why is he pushing her away? There's something more to this. Remember, he said, "I'm not going to leave you guys orphans. You're not going to be stuck alone. For I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." Now, if he goes to the Father, now he's going to be able to go into the presence of the Father and there pray as he sits at the right hand, constantly making intercession for you and me, right? He is our intercessor. The fact that he is there is the statement of the intercession of who he is for, on our behalf. He's been crucified. He's resurrected. Now he's going to ascend, go back into the presence with the Father, more to the original design. He's going to pray the Father, and the Father would send then his Spirit. The person of the Godhead in the form of the Spirit. Don't cling. Look it. It's one thing to have the presence of someone. It's another thing to have their Spirit imported into your being. That's what happens when you give your life to Jesus. His Spirit comes into your heart and my heart and makes his home in our hearts. Now it's no longer I that live it, but Christ that liveth within me. The Spirit. There's one Holy Spirit, and God has given us of his Holy Spirit and put himself into our lives. Jesus no longer physical presence. She's wanting that, but there's something better, something more powerful that's coming. Just, Mary, you've got to let me go. I'm not yet glorified. I've got to go to the Father. I'm going to pray the Spirit become to into your presence. This is what God wants. This is what the Father wants. This is what Jesus wants, because it's going to be something closer than a physical presence. Now, from chapter 17, go back to chapter 16. There's the dyslexia setting in right there. Go back to chapter 16. Verse 28. It's just slight. It's not real bad. Chapter 16, verse 28. "I came forth from the Father," Jesus said, "and have come into the world. And again, I leave the world and go to the Father." He's got this purpose. There's a big picture that's playing out. He wants to get back and then get the Spirit to them. Chapter 14, verse 12. "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father." Wow, that's a powerful statement when you think of the things that we've seen Jesus do. And you say, well, I don't know. I don't know that I'm seeing that today or I've seen that today. I don't know. It started off with just a handful. Hey, let's stretch it out. Let's say 120 in the upper room that were really committed to the Lord. Let's go. Let's from the 12, let's go to 120 in the upper room at Pentecost that were really committed to the Lord. How many people do you believe are probably true believers on the face of the earth today? In China, it's exponential right now. It's growing thousands every day under persecution. It's flourishing. But just think about it. From 120 that were actually followers from Jesus' physical presence on the earth, right, to what is it? I mean, millions of true followers on the face of the earth today. greater works. It's not just the miraculous, and I'm not limiting in saying the miraculous doesn't happen. I'm saying it's not just the miraculous, greater works. This is the deal. You and I, it goes back to the ambassador thing. You and I are his eyes, his ears, his hands, his feet. You and I represent the Lord. He lives in us and he works through us. We represent the Lord here on this earth. We are his body. This is where we got into Acts, and you start reading through Acts. We move through. And this is the thing. This makes no, some of you, I think this might not make any sense at all because you really may not even know the Lord. That is possible for some of you. This only makes sense, really, if you know the Lord, if you've given your life to Jesus Christ. Other than that, it just kind of is nonsensical talk. It doesn't make any sense. But that God lives within you. Do you realize the transaction that happened in the spiritual realm? You can harden your heart. You can box God out of your life. And you can create your own worldview that the tsunami's not going to hit your place. You're not going to be destroyed. You're a rock. You're an island. Simon and Garfunkel, 1968. But the idea, you get the idea of what happens. Some of you are there for the original release. Some of you just think, I don't even know what you're talking about. Some of you aren't from this country, and it would be absolutely clueless. But the idea is there's been this plan all along. God's working a plan. God's doing something, but his spirit wants to move in a believer's life, come into the believer's life, make your life, and you become the instrument then of God. You are standing out in front of McDonald's, holding hands with some guy that's messed up, and you just pray. And my prayer for that guy was, Lord Jesus, I pray that you will not release this from Dominic's mind every day, every morning when he wakes up. I prayed out loud, loudly. That he will not be released from this thought, but that he would just surrender his life to you. That, in effect, is truly a word of faith, actually, in the truest sense. I'm just speaking out by faith, believing that for Dominic. He doesn't have much faith on his own right now. I'm lowering him in. You see, you and I get this awesome privilege of doing that. Every day, you and I get this awesome privilege as Christians. It happens when we allow the Spirit to move and we're not just worried about us and our own stuff and what our agenda is. It happens when we allow God's Spirit to move in and through our lives for his purpose and for his glory. Greater works. You see, Jesus himself, coming on the earth and doing things, still had certain limitations because he lived in a tent like yours and mine, a physical shell like mine and yours. Now he goes to the Father and he sends his Spirit, and his Spirit comes in your life, 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 in your in all of our lives. His Spirit can come into all of our lives. And now all of a sudden, he's got his representation has exponentially, it's gone viral. That's what's happened. My prayer is that the gospel actually really would go viral. That it would spread and just infect. But it happens if you've got the full-blown disease. Not allergies. Allergies aren't contagious. You have to have the full-blown disease of Christianity. See, Satan doesn't care about your allergies. If you've just got an allergy thing, then that's no big deal. But if you're sneezing and blowing that stuff all over on everybody and it's Christianity, he's concerned about it because it's infectious. The heart of the Lord is that you and I would use these things to bring him honor and glory. That our lives, wherever we are, whatever we're doing, that the purpose of the Spirit, the testimony that we're going to share, everything that has to do, it points back to the prayer that would glorify God. This is why I get offended with the concept of a faith and prosperity teaching concept or doctrine when the idea is propagated that if you do this, then you're going to get this. And so now you're talking about all the things you have because God has blessed you. Now, what about the people that don't have much, that that's not happening that way for them? What's encouraging to them about that? Well, that maybe then they would have what you have. That's envy. That's not spiritual. Well, what's the motivator then? The motivator is that this isn't all there is. See that there's an eternal weight of glory. There's a great benefit to the other side of our lives being lived for the Lord. If God's blessed you economically, that's awesome. That's a wonderful thing. And praise the Lord. Use it wisely, because you'll be held responsible for it. Use it wisely. The Spirit in John chapter 16, you might just write this one down, verse 14. I would actually read in context verses 5 through 15. But the key verse is verse 14. The Spirit, as the Spirit would be given, Jesus says, He will glorify me. Again, use those two things. Glory describes the visible expression of God, that awesome factor. And glory describes valued attention toward God, giving Him our focus and undivided attention. He will glorify me. You see, the Spirit moves in your life and in my life, in our lives as Christians, not to point to you and to me, but to point to Jesus. And to say, no, Jesus can help you. Jesus can give you hope. Jesus knows about your situation. Jesus loves you personally. Jesus wants to do a work in and through your life. It doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done. Jesus wants to do a work in your life. John 14, 25 through 27 talks about the peace that we get from the Comforter. And John chapter 15 describes the way to maintain that connection for the Spirit to continue to flow in and through your life. The fruit of the Spirit, as we find in Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 26, is the whole context. Key verses are verses 22 through 26. Fruit of the Spirit is love. You go down through and you find out all these different ways that the Spirit is love is manifested. Patience, kindness, long-suffering, self-control. But the only way that fruit happens is if the branch is connected to the vine. It doesn't happen. The Spirit moving in through our lives, it doesn't happen independently of God. We got to stay connected to God, to Jesus, and it flows through, and then it points back to the person of Jesus Christ. But it's going to happen as we're connected to the Lord. It doesn't happen independently from the Lord. It's real important. I think you're hearing what I'm saying today. It's all about God. There is nothing in this world that agrees with what I'm saying. There's nothing of this world or in this world that agrees with what I'm saying. It is an abstract concept that is absolutely diametrically opposed to this truth that I'm sharing with you. But it is the true way of Christianity, and it has been this way for 2,000 years. We are a called out people. Can't leave the planet. Called out then from what? The world system. That way of thinking. Again, it's about God, and the only way it's going to stay work out is for us to be connected to Him. I wanted to do an overview like this. Kind of this is the conclusion, part one and part two, of kind of an introduction to the work of the Spirit, because I think those two components are very important. One, our absolute, utter dependency on Jesus Christ. Absolutely. You and I, we have to be dependent. If we're going to accomplish what God wants to accomplish in and through our lives, we have to be dependent on God to do that through us, okay? So that's clear. And the reality that we went through a biblical concept, and I can create an outline for you and give you the outline of that. Next week. I'll try and have that next week available, because I had a few people ask about that, and I will do that so that you can have them. It was just the scriptures and the outline of how we come up with that doctrine and that simple, clear understanding of our need for that. Jesus taught it. We saw it happening in the first church in Acts in the first century, and we saw the letters being written and having those things reinforcing that same truth. But so we see that. We see the scriptural base. But then I wanted to throw in this other part, that it's not about this whole let's throw the Holy Spirit around the room thing together or something. Because I don't believe that. I don't want to be us get lopsided with our thinking on that. But I want to stay balanced. I want to stay biblical on this. I believe there is a place for this working of the gifts and the operation of the Spirit. But we need to understand it. Because as we learned before, there's ignorance, a lack of understanding of this truth. We want to glorify the Lord. I want to glorify the Lord. I want to be able to be a representative. I want you guys to be able to be representatives wherever you are and whatever you're doing. And the only way we're going to be able to rep him is if he's the one moving in and through us to do that. And it's all about him, and it's to give him glory. It wasn't some great willpower thing that did anything. It was God himself that does it all. Give people hope. Some of us in this room have been through some deep suffering together, some grievous times together. Some of us have shared some grievous moments together. It wasn't an it or an ism that got us through any of that, was it? It's the person of Jesus Christ, the work of his Spirit, the Comforter coming and putting that healing balm in those places in our lives that only God can touch. Some of us know that. We know those times that we've been through together. And I would never deny that. I'm not ashamed to tell you, just as I tell these individuals that know exactly what I'm saying, the times where I've said, I have no words. I have no words. But the Spirit can move and touch and do things, and love can be transferred. God loves you, and God loves me, and he wants a people that have been taken out of the world.